Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So I was just reading where Microsoft, the company, they recently experimented with
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they recently experimented with a four-day work week in Japan, and they said productivity jumped 40%. There are many people in America that believe we should move to four-day work weeks. Instead of working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, work 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, and then we'd have three-day weekends. And that's I guess that's just for clock punchers,
right?
Nine-to-fivers. I mean, there are some people.
Doctors and nurses and service industry.
Yeah, I was going to say waiters and bartenders.
Radio people. Nah. That we're not going to get to do that, so.
But in Japan, Microsoft just recently tried this. They tried it in the month of August. And they said, all right, for each week for the month of August, we're gonna do a four-day work week. And they swear that productivity jumped 40%. Now, remember, this is Japan, not America. Things are a lot smaller in Japan. Have you seen the size of some of the apartments? I guess some Japanese people, the apartments are so small that they sleep in dresser drawers. Things are smaller over there. But I guess a smaller work week worked well for them.
I think you saw that on a sitcom. I don't know if that really, really happened.
You could go to YouTube and type in Tokyo apartment, small Tokyo apartment.
And I will find Japanese people sleeping in dressers. Is that what you said?
Well, you may. You'll find very, very small apartments in Japan, and it's because the apartments are so small. That's why some of the people in Japan, they don't have beds. They just...
Hand me one of those oranges, would you?
An experiment that involved reducing the work week by 1 day led to a 40% boost in productivity in a Microsoft subsidiary in Japan. The trial was part of something Microsoft called Microsoft's Work Life Choice Challenge. And Microsoft Japan closed its offices every Friday in August. And they found that labor productivity increased by 40% compared with the August 1 year ago in 2018. Full-time employees were given paid leave during the Friday closures.
So they did work longer. They did work 10 hours rather than 8 Monday through Thursday?
Yeah, they shifted to a 4 day work week, and the company said it also reduced the time spent in meetings.
I'm all for that.
By implementing a 30-minute limit and encouraging remote communication. In many offices, meetings are something that are they really, really that necessary?
I can't tell you in every industry, not just this one. I can in everything. So many meetings, you look at yourself after it's over, and it's like that could have been a short email, maybe a medium-sized email, rather than a two-hour meeting.
Or you could have when we passed each other in the hall, you could have.
No, I'm not a fan. No, I'm not a big fan of that. That doesn't work because it doesn't stick with anybody. Mm.
So I found that interesting, and again, I would love to see it here in the United States, but probably still a long ways away there. Here on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And today, the brand new Louis Armstrong International Airport opens. The new MSY opens today. Technically, late last night, I guess, a few flights came into the new airport. But this morning, today is the day that it opens. And I was watching some of the news reports from there over the last day or two, and a bunch of people are working hard moving some of the stuff that they where they work there. They were moving from the old terminal to the new terminal.
Did they ever figure out where the bathrooms are on the first floor? Because we had a week or 10 days ago during the invited members of the press went through and someone made a checklist, and that was one of the things. It's the bathrooms on the first floor could not be located.
I think they found them, and someone said they all work.
That's good, because I would hate to hold it for like a week or 10 days looking for it.
Yeah. Well, they're saying we finally have a world-class airport here in New Orleans, and what's interesting is this cost a lot more money. It's ended up costing $1.3 billion when they first planned this. And this was planned during the last mayor that we had before our history-making mayor took over. Mitch Half Moon Landrieu, he was the mayor of New Orleans when he said, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it for under $1 billion. And what else is interesting, not only did it cost $1.3 billion, that's the final tally, today is the fifth start date. Today is the fifth day that they said, okay.
The pushback date.
The new airport's going to open. This has been over a year, upwards of 2 years late in opening. But if you could ever find a government project where it comes in under budget or on budget and in the time that they said it was going to come in, let me know about it, because it doesn't happen very often. A new era of air travel is now taking flight in Kenner. And they had second lines, and they were very excited. But now there still seems to be one issue, and that's the infrastructure, the roads around the new airport.
The new airport takes us firmly into the 21st century and beyond. However, traffic around the airport is now back into the 19th century.
Yeah, they say it's going to take a while for them to get the roads, the infrastructure around the new airport to get it the way it's supposed to be.
I mean, the thing hasn't been open, much less than 12 hours, I guess. And already we have the winning meme about the airport. In fact, this is in the running for meme of the year. Are you ready?
Sure.
New Orleans, Louisiana. The only city with an airport you can only reach by air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The new terminal has 35 gates along three concourses. There are 40 restaurants or food, beverage, and retail locations, among other amenities. And the food that they have both local names, names that here in New Orleans that have been big, and they got a spot to open up.
There's Emerald. There's Chef John Foles. There's a variety of local favorites,
and they got some national names as well. The first arrivals into the new terminal, like I mentioned when we started talking about this, came in late last night.
They had to walk from the old terminal, but they're there. I shouldn't be laughing about this.
Well, it took long enough.
No, it's just it's the ingress and egress. It's like it's already showing its ugly head because people on social media in Kenner and around the area are already. They're already seeing it.
927,000 square feet. That's how big the new terminal is. Features music venues, three rooms for mothers to bring small children. So would that be breastfeeding rooms?
Baby rooms. Mother's rooms, I guess they call them. You'll have to stick your head in the door and see what goes on.
And they have charging locations for electronic devices at half, 50% of the seats at the gates.
That's an improvement, I guess. I've been to airports where every seat has their own little station, whether it be USB or an outlet. Well, it's just more outlets is what people need, but that's good.
8,000 available parking spaces.
Okay.
Which they're split up between the long-term parking and the short-term parking. They actually cut the ribbon. Did you see our history-making mayor, LaTweeta Cantrell, cut the ribbon?
I missed that.
She had a huge pair of scissors. And I know her name's LaToya Cantrell, but she tweets so much and she loves Twitter. She retweets. She clicks likes on things. That's why we call her LaTweeta, and she's history-making because she's the first black woman to ever be mayor of the city of New Orleans.
And I believe the first California native to be mayor of New Orleans.
And our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, said, this is what $1 billion looks like, although it's $1.3 billion to be exact. I want to know where our mayor got that giant pair of scissors. Living in New Orleans like I do for going on 12 years now, those could come in handy. I mean, the giant pair of scissors.
I think Party City.
Can you get those over there?
I think so.
So, well, this is exciting, and I never had that big of an issue with the old airport. I found it fairly easy to get in, to get out. I mean, I know it was small and it was kind of old. I mean, you know, that old airport had been there for a really long time, since the 50s, the 40s?
Well, two things about that. You put the title international on an airport, and now all of a sudden there's an expectation. And then a city that thrives on tourism, I mean, people coming here for the first time have had bad experiences, and some people have great experiences, and some are just neutral to it. But It's keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, Midway in Chicago used to be an absolute bleep hole, and they've fixed it up now.
Well, that's their second airport,
right? Midway. That's their redheaded stepchild airport, I guess, to O'Hare.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, there's an expectation that the floors will be clean when you fly into some place. That would never used to be the case in Midway. I mean, there'd be paper peeling off the walls, et cetera, et cetera. But it's also a civic pride thing, too, that when people here, residents here, natives here, talk to people from out of town, it's like, oh, man, check out such and such at the airport. It's a civic pride thing.
And even though the airport is called Louis Armstrong International Airport, it's known as MSY.
Airport if you're flying in from anywhere else, and that's named after John Moisant. You know, he died. He fell out of an airplane right over there.
That's very ironic.
In 1910. Yeah. Landed right over there by Williams Boulevard. And so, it's exciting. We have a new airport here in the city of New Orleans, and I can't wait to check it out at some time in the near future. So the future looks bright, right?
Why don't you go just take like a short flight to Dallas or something and come back and then give us a report about the airport? Or do you want to let it cure for a little bit? You want to let it be open for a while and then try it out?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Popeyes the first day with the new chicken sandwiches. Yeah. I want to let them get all the kinks out first.
Gotcha.
At the new airport. And then we'll see how long it takes to get the traffic around there. It's a couple of years from what I'm reading until they get the infrastructure, the roads around there just right. Evidently, right now you've got to go through three traffic lights if you're getting off I-10 to go over there. So
it's different.
Yeah, but I'm the eternal optimist because if you don't have hope, what do you got, right? So
that's a good question. I don't know what you have if you don't have hope.
It's a historic day in Kenner with the new Louis Armstrong International Airport. It'll still be known as MSY. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So Jamie Lee Curtis, the actress, is opening up about her former drug addiction, drug and alcohol addiction. And she's saying that she shared drugs with her famous father, Tony Curtis. It's interesting how she says she shared drugs. They shared. They did them together.
That is an odd conjugation of a verb to use when you I was going to say partake, but that's not right either.
You and I share a studio every morning.
Right.
You know, she said. She shared drugs with her father, the actor Tony Curtis.
Right. You and I might share an ice cream soda later.
My.
And monkeys might fly out of my butt.
She's 60 years old now, and wow. She says she has proudly been sober from drugs and alcohol for 20 years. She got sober
right
at 40 years old.
Is she still constipated? Because I know she eats that yogurt that helps clean you out.
I see those commercials on TV. And she blames a doctor. She says she got a little bit of plastic surgery when she was younger because she had puffy eyes.
Mm.
And then the doctor gave her a prescription for Vicodin.
Oh, boy.
And she said she got hooked.
You have the doctor's name.
Yeah, she got hooked on Vicodin. And she said even when she was addicted to painkillers, and she enjoyed cocaine as well. But she says, quote, I never took drugs before 5 in the afternoon.
Well.
I never even.
Round of applause.
Well, if you're going to be a drug addict, I mean, at least you have your limits. I never, ever took painkillers at 10 in the morning. It was that sort of late afternoon and early evening. I like to refer to it as the warm bath feeling of an opiate.
I don't think she's over drugs.
Well, she said that nobody knew, even her husband, the great and very funny Christopher Guest,
mm-hmm.
who stars in and writes, in my opinion, some of the funniest movies ever made. This is Spinal Tap and Best in Show. But I just found it interesting how she said that she shared drugs with her father. And, you know, some people might say, well, I did drugs with my father. You know, right. I popped pills or I snorted coke with my father. But she said, no, I shared drugs with my father.
I barely got out of high school. I think I got 400 on my SATs.
No, oh, well, that explains a lot.
And you don't believe the
big story. She is not a hermaphrodite. That has been debunked and debunked.
Are you sure that's been debunked? Because I thought it was bunked. You're saying it was debunked. I thought that was bunk. I thought it was bunked.
No, wait a minute.
I thought it was bunko.
Let's see. The verb to bunk, to debunk. No, it's been debunked.
That was
you keep trying to rebunk it. It's been debunked.
That when she was born, her parents could have they could have gone either way with that.
No. No.
And you don't think it's just a coincidence that she adopted her children? That you, that she
go to Snopes.com and put in Jamie Lee Curtis. We've been through this before. All it's still there.
Anyway. Just learning something new about her now. And
shared drugs.
Shared drugs with her father, and I'm glad she's been sober for 20 years. And boy, looking at her from the Halloween movie days, she was
Very unique. Very unique looking. There was nobody else in Hollywood.
See, that's another reason why some people think she...
Snopes.com. You want me to read it to you?
I'll read it to you
during this commercial break.
I believe you. All right, coming up next, an ABC newswoman was caught on a hot mic saying that her network was burying the Jeffrey Epstein story 3 years ago. 3 years ago. We'll explain coming up. And if all of this is true, how many girls could have been saved? Underage girls could have been saved if ABC News didn't sit on this story here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And a big national story that just broke is that ABC News quashed a story 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago now, on allegations against the multi-billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein. He's the guy that allegedly killed himself in a New York City jail not that long ago, and a lot of people say that, including some doctors who have seen the autopsy, and say that didn't look like suicide. Looked like homicide. You get your sides mixed up.
Looked like Clinton side.
That's what some people say. And then the people that don't like the current president say that they think that he might have had something to do with it. That's interesting.
Right.
But if this latest bombshell, ABC News anchor Amy Robach was caught on an open mic saying that her network, ABC, which is owned by Disney, that they stifled, they sat on a story. That the ABC News reporter Amy Robach actually had an interview with one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims, and this could have implicated Bill Clinton. And at the time, Hillary Clinton was running for president. That's when this story.
Right.
And they're saying George Stephanopoulos, who is the host of Good Morning, one of the hosts of Good Morning America on ABC, that he was the one that was saying we can't release this story right now, because the fact is Bill Clinton, didn't he go to Pedophile Island several times?
He's one that's alleged to have, as are many.
Yeah.
This also involves the allegations from 3 or 4 years ago from Virginia Roberts, who claims that she was held as a sex slave and was forced to have sex against her will with Prince Andrew and others in what she describes as an 11-person orgy. And those details are a part of this as well. This video, it's an open mic, but it's audio and video. The scenario of this appears to be that Amy Robach is in between being on the air and talking to someone off camera. And so she is conversing openly back and forth, telling this person about these details. So this is not, it's not hidden camera. It's just something that was captured not really surreptitiously. She knows she's sitting there and not in like most studios, not everything is necessarily shut off.
Yeah, she said,
would you like to hear what she said?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that we that also quashed the story. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. Do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. Because you want to, he made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment.
She's talking about the island that we just mentioned. Jeffrey Epstein would fly down there with, and you just heard, and that's ABC News's Amy Robach. She said that she had the story for 3 years. It was unbelievable what they had. They had Clinton. They had the Prince Andrew. And I know people over at the Royal Palace, they're kind of freaking out because there's different pictures of Prince Andrew with Epstein popping up all over the place. And, right. They, of course, they're denying everything. And
he's coming to be called on social media Randy Andy.
But isn't that something how a newswoman at ABC said, we've had this story. We have his victims. We have testimony from them. It's unbelievable what we had. We had Clinton. We had everything.
Right, and again, I think the context is important. That she's not whispering in a corner to someone just into their ear. She's sitting in an open studio, just not on the air.
And the reason why
this is explosive.
This is very explosive. And the reason why George Stephanopoulos' name came up. Because before he was one of the co-hosts of ABC's Good Morning America, he was press secretary for Bill Clinton, and they're saying that
and a high level advisor back in those days.
Yeah, back in the day.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's something if a handful of people are powerful enough to stop a story like that. Because a handful of people want to protect some people, and it makes you wonder how many underage girls were victims because ABC News and their parent company Disney didn't say anything for a few years. They sat on a story. You wonder how many women wouldn't be victims if this story wasn't
right.
Sat on like it was. So I don't think we've heard the last of this, but it's something how a newswoman gets caught on an open microphone saying something like that, and now it gets leaked, and we will see if there is if there are any more repercussions. But the memes going around about how Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, they are everywhere.
Yes.
And they are everywhere, and they are so many different types of memes. There was one where someone said, look at even In-N-Out Burger believes it. Did you see that one?
I have not.
And it had the bottom of an In-N-Out Burger cup from that fast food chain, and on the bottom of the cup where you drink your soda out of, If you turned it upside down, it said on the bottom of the cup, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I mean, they're everywhere.
They're very creative.
Those memes are everywhere, and who knows if we'll ever get the full 100% truth on that story.
And I have to confess that I'm taking part in that that meme creation.
Yeah, you're a big.
It's fun. I'm a memer. I'm a serial memer. That's in my profile on social media. I'm a serial memer. I love it.
Well, when something so tragic happens, like a pedophile, pedophile, when he dies in a New York City jail, and it looks like, well, he might have hung himself or someone might have broke his neck.
Right.
I guess you try to get as many good times out of that as you possibly can with memes and other things.
You worded that very unfortunately, but you make light of the situation, just not as it involves the victims. I mean, that's horrible.
Oh, yeah, bad story. Coming up on the show, last night, the first college football playoff rankings came out, and LSU was at number one, like they are in the polls. We'll explain here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You like Pringles? Pringles potato chips. They've just launched a new flavor for Thanksgiving. Turducken stack.
I like it.
It's their Pringles potato chips Friendsgiving feast with turducken stack chips for the holidays. You think that's something that'll sell big? You think that's something a lot of people eat?
I know they'll sell one can to me.
Well, I know turducken is really good as a meal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is as. I'm sure it'll be fine as a tasty snack.
We'll see how faithfully they reproduce that very unique combination.
You put the chicken, the duck, and the turkey all together into one.
Wait, you mean that's not a naturally occurring animal in the animal kingdom?
Not at the moment, it's not.
Garsh!
Looking forward to those potato chips. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. We hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next! On Bayou 95.7.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Journey coming to New Orleans next summer in August. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at Ticketmaster.com. If you don't want to wait to win or you want to try to win free tickets, we're giving them away on our website. Go to Bayou957.com and click on the journey box there. You know, some people are saying, well, this is going to be a cover band. Not really. It's got their most famous lineup, the lineup that sold the most albums, all except for the singer, Steve
right.
Perry. They've got Neil Sean, they've got Jonathan Cain, Ross Valerie on bass, and Steve Smith on drums. That was the classic Journey lineup that sold the most albums with Steve Perry as the singer.
Right.
Steve won't be there, but they've got the Arnell there, the guy that they
Arnell
got.
Arnell Pineda.
Yeah, the guy that they got who sounds exactly like Steve Perry, and they found him on a YouTube video, And again, they're coming in August to the Smoothie King Center. Go to our website, Bayou957.com, and to try to score some freebies. It's about that time of our show where we look at today in history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
November 6th. It was today in 1975.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Sex Pistols performed for the first time.
Hmm.
They make their performance debut at St. Martin's School of Art in London. 10 minutes into the gig, the school's social programmer pulls the plug on the Sex Pistols. But they play for the very first time today in 1975.
How about that?
November 6th. It was today in 1980.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The three remaining members of Led Zeppelin, along with their management and their manager, Peter Grant, they had a meeting on the island of Jersey, not New Jersey here.
Right.
There's that island off of England. And they had a meeting there to discuss the future following the death of their drummer, John Bonham. And they had that meeting there today, and that's where they decided, we're not going to go on anymore. John Bonham was a huge part of our band. We're not Led Zeppelin
right.
without Bonzo playing drums.
He had died, was it, September 30th of that year? September 25th, maybe? And they thought it over, and I can remember the almost remember the exact wording. Well, no, I don't. Forget it.
And I just
look it up.
I just read something where Robert Plant did an interview saying that he doesn't even know if he could sing "Stairway to Heaven" anymore because he can't relate to the lyrics. So many years have gone by, and he's a different person.
None of the rock critics could ever relate to those lyrics as well. It was on this date, November 6th, way back in 1982.
Why today doesn't suck?
Why, that's when Lafreniere Park opened. Did you know that? A 5,000-acre land grant was given by Bienville as a reward to Nicolas Chauvin de Lafreniere for his service to the colonization of New Orleans. Very nice out there. I've spent some pleasant time
that is a nice park.
At Lafreniere Park. Other things that happened on this date, November 6th, 1935.
Why today doesn't suck?
Parker Brothers began marketing Monopoly, one of my favorite games. I was just looking for that, the most recent version of Monopoly from my phone, and I couldn't find one. I've had various PC versions of Monopoly. I've had phone versions. I love Monopoly.
I like that game a lot too. Although I remember every once in a while when we'd play, you'd have to keep an eye on someone because it's the person that usually wanted to be the banker.
Right.
You always had to keep an eye on them.
And my sister always wanted to be the banker.
Yeah, they'd get up to go to the bathroom. Wait a minute, is that money that's underneath her bottom? What's going on over there?
Right. My sister was the type who would just and just toss the entire board if she happened to be losing. November 6th is National Stress Awareness Day. You should be aware of that. It is also National... nachos. These nachos are good. One of my favorite moments from Beavis and Butthead. They're sitting there outside the Quickie Mart. They have just enough money for one thing of nachos they're going to share, right? And they're sitting there eating them. And Beavis is talking to Butthead, and he looks away, and a cockroach crawls up over the nacho that he's about to put in his mouth, and he says, and I quote, "Yeah, these nachos are good." November 6th is also National Saxophone Day. Oh, let's see. I had that. Give me one second here. We'll come back to that. Give me one second here.
Well, you also said today is National Stress Awareness Day.
Yes.
Symptoms,
I'm having it right now.
Symptoms of stress include insomnia, you have a tough time sleeping,
yes,
low energy, and your hair falling out.
Yes, and having too many windows open. Mm-hmm. National Saxophone Day.
Are you a fan of saxophone in rock and roll?
Please hold your applause until every song containing the saxophone has been played. You know, I'm not a big fan of the instrument, but what is the song Money without the saxophone? What is Born to Run without the saxophone?
I don't mind the saxophone.
What is Young Americans without that sax solo?
Although the singer of the band Oasis, Liam Gallagher, is on record saying, who the bleep would put a bleeping saxophone in a bleeping rock and roll song? But you just heard a few of them right there.
Yeah, about a half a dozen or so right there. Your birthdays today include Maria Shriver, 64, The Flying Nun, Sally Field is 73. Zoe McClellan, who used to be on NCIS New Orleans but is no longer, is 45. Good actor Ethan Hawke is 49. Cute actress Emma Stone is 31. And Lamar Odom, former NBA player, is 80. I'm sorry, 40.
And finally, November 6th. It was today in 1860.
Why today doesn't suck?
Abraham Lincoln was elected president today.
How'd that work out?
Well, he was elected the 16th president of the United States over a deeply divided Democratic Party, becoming the first Republican to win the presidency. Did you know that?
Yes, of course I knew that.
You know, they say we're deeply divided right now as a country. But I think, you know, like Abe Lincoln and John Kennedy, they would tell you, well, we've been more divided.
That's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up next, the college football playoff poll just came out. It's a little bit different than the national rankings. LSU is not number one, damn it, in this college football playoff poll. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So we're giving away tickets to go to the Saints game tomorrow on the show. Saints are home on Sunday in the Dome against the dumpster fire known as the Atlanta Falcons. Boy, they're going to be changing a lot of things after this year. They're going to probably have a new coach and maybe a new general manager. Who knows? They're awful. But every Thursday before a Saints home game this year, we're doing the Osterlin home game handoff. That's where we'll play Drew Brees, the huddle chant, getting everybody fired up. And then you call in and you win a pair of tickets. We're doing that tomorrow during this hour of the show. So tomorrow morning in between 7 and 8, listen for Drew Brees in the huddle. And then if you're caller 9, not only do you win two tickets to go to the game on Sunday, you get two tickets to the pregame party at Benson Tower next door to the Dome. And that, the delicious food, alcohol, open bar, free food. Boy, it's a scene over there. So be listening to the show tomorrow morning to win those tickets. It's pretty cool, the Osterlin home game handoff. Speaking of football, last night, the college football playoff rankings were announced. And this is what they do every year right at the same time. It's different than the polls that they do from the start of the year. In the polls, LSU are number one right now. But last night, in the college football playoff rankings that were released, LSU, not number one, number two, behind Ohio State. Really, I mean, LSU has beaten three top 10 teams this year already. Has Ohio State, is their schedule nearly as tough as LSU's? But, there's still a long way to go this year, and that's going to change, obviously, when teams lose and such. But as far as the very first college football playoff rankings go, it's Ohio State number one. LSU is number two, followed by Penn State at number three, and Alabama is number four. How about that undefeated Clemson, defending national champions? They're out right now. They're sitting at number five. So and again, there's a long way to go. And
right, and then you throw in the coaches poll, which is different still, which has Alabama as number one and Clemson is number three. So. That's really interesting.
And LSU's number one in the AP poll, the Associated Press poll. Mm-hmm. So, they're still, I mean, they're all undefeated, and you got a few different polls. And as we sit here in the beginning of November, it really doesn't matter if you're number one, you're number two, you're number three, or number four. You know, you wait a few more weeks, and then it's going to matter. But the college football poll, it's an important one, or the college football playoff poll is an important one, because when the regular season's over in college football, they only take the top four teams. There's only four teams that have a chance to win the national championship, two semifinal games, and then the national championship game. LSU's still trying to get in that for the first time ever. They've never had a chance. And are you happy with that? Do you like how it is right now in college football with the top four teams getting a chance to win the whole thing? See, I think it should be at least eight teams, six or eight. I'd say make it eight. And I think as what's it, one more week of games. And don't tell me, well, you know, you're keeping the kids out of classes. I mean, all of a sudden they're scholars. For one more week of football. I think if you take the top eight teams, you just add one more weekend. I think we're going to end up there in a couple of years. I think once they figure it out. Because every year since we've started the four-team college playoff, there's always a team or two that says, we got the screws here. We're on the outside looking in. So, anyways, the college football playoff rankings came out last night
And LSU is sitting at number two right now. And boy, oh boy, what a game that's going to be this Saturday in Tuscaloosa.
On CBS.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a big game. The president's going. Now, I know he didn't have a ticket when the season started. And I know that game's been sold out for a long time. Pretty cool gig. You could wake up one morning saying, oh, number one's playing number two this week. I want to go. Make sure. Let's. And there are tickets. And I'm sure they will be very good tickets. He's not going to be sitting way up in the nosebleeds. So look forward to that coming up this weekend. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I love stories about how people create things to make money, how people come up with ideas in the greatest country in the world, even though we're not perfect. No country is, but we are the greatest country in the world. Here's a perfect example of something that I just admire so much. It's a 21-year-old guy who lives in Minnesota. His name's Jason Gonzalez. And he had to drive to Iowa for a soccer tournament. And he drove, and when he got to Iowa, he drove past a Krispy Kreme donut location. And he knew a couple of things. He knew a few people back home in Minnesota. Remember, he's in Iowa now. He's driving from Minnesota to Iowa, about a four-hour drive. He knew some people that loved Krispy Kreme donuts in Minnesota where he lives. And
who doesn't love Krispy Kreme donuts?
But he also knows that there are no Krispy Kreme donut shops in the state of Minnesota. They don't have any.
Wow.
So what he did was he picked up a few boxes when he was leaving his soccer tournament that he was at in Iowa to drive back to Minnesota, make the four-hour drive back. And his friends and friends of friends said, "Wow, I'll give you how much money you want for these. This is fantastic. We don't know what Krispy Kreme is. We live in Minnesota. We don't have Krispy Kreme." So he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a little business. I need to pay for my college education. I'm going to make the four-hour trip every once in a while, and I'm going to see how many people in Minnesota really want these donuts. So he started a Facebook page, and all of a sudden, a ton of people said, "Yeah, include me in your run. I want some of these Krispy Kreme donuts."
Right.
So that Facebook page that he launched, it's called the Krispy Kreme Run Minnesota. It's got over 5,000 followers. And so what he does now, on Saturday morning, late Friday night, early Saturday morning at 2 a.m., he'll drive the four-hour drive from Minnesota to Iowa to the Krispy Kreme place there. And then he buys a bunch of boxes. A box of a dozen original glazed donuts from Krispy Kreme is $9.49. So
it's pretty reasonable.
He buys up a bunch of them, and then he resells them from anywhere.
For $15 a box.
No, $17 to $20 a box.
Oh.
Depending exactly what type of donuts he has. Whether they're,
wow.
They could be glazed, they could be chocolate frosted, they could be.
Right.
So, I mean, he did the math with how much he spends in gas money, that kind of thing. So he'll spend $9, $10, $11 each for each box of Krispy Kreme donuts in Iowa, and then he drives the 4 hours back to Minnesota, where he'll then sell them from anywhere from $17 to $20 per box. The money that he makes via his delivery service, he's using to help pay for his college education at Metropolitan State University in St. Paul, where he is studying accounting. But isn't that Isn't that pretty cool?
He's
21 years old.
But he's scalping Krispy Kreme donuts. Do we support that? Isn't that what he's doing?
Maybe he could save up enough money. He can make enough money to open up his very own Krispy Kreme donut shop in the Twin Cities. Because isn't that something? Did you know that there are no Krispy Kreme donuts in Minneapolis or St. Paul, Minnesota?
I know that there are, in the whole state. I know that there are telegraph locations. For example, like in a whatever their version of 7-Eleven is, you may have like a little kiosk where you can get just that selection those days, Krispy Kremes. But that's not the same as having the entire shop.
This guy can...
For example, I'm a big fan of Racetrack. I love Racetrack. Love me some Racetrack.
I've heard about that.
You've heard how much I love Racetrack. For example, you can go to Racetrack and they'll have like a little rack and they'll have a selection of delicious and fresh Krispy Kremes, but it's not an actual Krispy Kreme brick and mortar store.
Well, yeah, and you can find those also. I believe Rouse's has Krispy Kreme donuts. You can find them. They have the big shelves that
right.
you can. Yeah. This guy from the Twin Cities, though, this 21-year-old entrepreneur, he can fit 100 boxes of donuts into his Ford Focus.
I can fit that many into my mouth. Come on, what are you talking about?
Sweet ride. But he can fit 100 boxes of donuts into his Ford Focus. So he leaves at 2 a.m.
What happens if he tries 101? Does the thing collapse? The shocks just collapse?
Maybe how big are the glove boxes, the glove compartments on the Ford Focuses? Maybe he can jam a box in there. But people go to his Facebook page, Krispy Kreme Run, Minnesota, and that's where they put their orders in. He gets the money, and then Saturday mornings at 2 a.m., he gets in his car, and he drives from Minneapolis, St. Paul to Iowa. He buys 100 boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts, turns around, drives back to the Twin Cities, and then he sells them for $17 to $20 a box. You do the math. But see, this is what's great. This is what's great about this country, that you can...
You can scalp anything.
You can do things like this.
You could be a bootlegger. He's a bootlegger and a scalper.
It's not all good news.
Oh, here we go.
After making 19 successful runs, he was told by Krispy Kreme...
I knew that was coming.
...to shut down operations.
Many companies not big on scalping, not big on bootlegging and scalping.
Well, here's the reason that they gave.
Oh.
Now, you would think they would be happy about this. Here's a guy driving 4 hours to buy 100 boxes of donuts. Isn't that good for them at the Krispy Kreme in Iowa? But here's what they said. They said the donuts were not meeting its quality standards due to the four-hour drive from Iowa to Minnesota.
Aha!
That's the excuse they used. However,
there's more.
After an outpouring of support, I guess people took to Facebook and said, whoa, time out, Krispy Kreme. What are you doing to us here in Minnesota? We were enjoying your fine product once a week, and now you're shutting us down? So there was a lot of support. People were outraged. You know social media. There has to be an outrage of the day. And in Minnesota, people were outraged. Some people were outraged over the fact that Krispy Kreme wanted to shut down this 21-year-old entrepreneur who's paying for his college education by moving Krispy Kreme donuts interstate.
Well, 2 points about that. When Krispy Kreme says that they're concerned about quality control, that means they're concerned about he's making more money on those 100 boxes of donuts potentially than they are.
That's their problem.
But on the other hand, a Krispy Kreme, a box of Krispy Kreme donuts that has a four hour ride on them is better than no Krispy Kreme donuts at all.
Absolutely.
That's what I say.
Well, now the company Krispy Kreme, they are working on a deal with him to allow him to become an independent operator. So at least they're working with him. And
Happy ending.
Boy, I'm really hungry now.
Yes. I made the mistake of going to his Facebook page where there is the picture of the hot, fresh Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, their signature product. My mistake.
Hey, coming up on the show, 70-year-old Richard Gere is about to become a father again. And his latest wife is half of his age. More details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Coming up next, Buffalo Wild Wings. They're making national news again, and again, it's not for a good reason. We need to hear this story coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. The restaurant chain Buffalo Wild Wings is in the news again, making headlines, and not for a good reason. And I remember it wasn't that long ago, it was only a month or so ago, when we talked about Buffalo Wild Wings. They made news around here. Do you remember why? It was when the Saints played the Los Angeles Rams. And the referees gave the screw job to the Saints. It's when they sacked the Rams quarterback, Jared Goff. The ball came out of his hand. Cam Jordan of the Saints picked up the fumble and ran it all the way back for a touchdown. But the referees made a mistake and they blew their whistles, saying they thought that it was an incomplete pass and right. not a fumble.
Right.
And
they called it a dead ball and it should not have been.
And we all know now that in that situation, what the referees need to do is just let the play finish, and then they could go to the instant replay.
Right.
And then they could figure out if it was a fumble, which it was, or if it was an incomplete pass, which they ruled. But once they blew the whistle, blowing the play dead, the play was over. So the refs made a huge mistake. And that was a big play in that game.
So
the only loss of the New Orleans Saints season so far.
So that was September 15th. And about 3:30 that afternoon, from the Buffalo Wild Wings, we'll call it the corporate account, not from any one store in particular, certainly not from one of the three locations here, just from the corporate account. You see on Twitter, the blue check mark, meaning it has been verified that that is, in fact, the legitimate Buffalo Wild Wings corporate account. They tweet this: New Orleans fans already drawn up lawsuits.
So that's what they...
Okay.
Because of what happened last year in the NFC Championship game.
Alluding to that, and then that game on September 15th.
Yeah, the Saints getting the screws there, too. So there were many people around here who were not happy with Buffalo Wild Wings. And again, like you said, Brewster, that came from the corporate account. The Buffalo Wild Wings
in New Orleans, in our metropolitan region, there are three of them. And the owner said, oh, boy, we didn't do that here.
Right.
Don't hold that against us, because
right.
there were a lot of people saying, well, I'm not going there. And then we said, you know, here's why protests don't work, or boycotts don't work. A, well, they had nothing to do with it, the local people. And B, the three Buffalo Wild Wings around here, they employ all local people. So
right.
if you're going to boycott them, you're hurting local people that work there.
And they had nothing to do with it, nor did the local franchisee, the local owner of those three.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the local owner is a season ticket holder for the Saints. And so he said, please don't hold it against me. And he was mad at the whoever tweeted that from the
right.
corporate account. Well, they're back in the news again, and this is even worse. This is even worse. One of the Buffalo Wild Wings, this one in Naperville, Illinois, which is outside of Chicago, they are making national news because a black customer said he was told by one of the employees at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville, Illinois, that he and his party had to switch tables. They had to leave the table they were sitting at and go sit at another table. And when the person asked why, the server at the Buffalo Wild Wings there said, because we have a regular customer and he doesn't want to sit next to black people. She actually said that.
Oh, boy.
She actually said that to a group of black customers at that Buffalo Wild Wings. And now they've lawyered up, and they may be fixing to sue, have a big lawsuit. But could you imagine being in a restaurant and being told you need to move tables because they have a regular there and they don't, and that regular doesn't like sitting next to you for whatever reason? But this particular reason.
You know how huge most Buffalo Wild Wings locations are? I mean, the one in Metairie off of Veterans, Vets and Severn, it's enormous. I think there are two floors.
But it was
so the regular customer can't just say, "Hey, I'm going to move over here." You know, and to make it worse, I understand that they were celebrating a child's birthday.
It was a birthday party. That's what I was just going to say. So there was literally a birthday party going on.
Oh boy.
And they're saying that the children were crying.
They're crying and vomiting and
I can't imagine a waitress, a waiter, a server at any place going up to a party, a birthday party where there are young children, and telling the adults, you need to move tables because we have a regular here who comes in all the time and he doesn't want to sit next to you because of the color of your skin.
Well, I don't think I think you said it right the first time. He doesn't want to sit next to you because you're black.
As someone who owned a bar and a restaurant, and yes, Brewster, the building is still standing in Miami Beach.
Smoldering.
There was no fire. If
a lot of accelerants.
We had regulars. If any regular ever said to me or one of our servers, look, I don't want to sit next to these people. Can you move them? I would say you're the one who needs to move down the bar, even if you are a regular, because we don't operate that way. And so now I don't know if there's going to be a big lawsuit or not. Buffalo Wild Wings has fired that employee and one other employee who was a part of this
mm-hmm.
on that late October birthday party at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Naperville, Illinois, outside of Chicago. They did say that they fired. I couldn't imagine having an employee that would be that stupid that would go up to a table celebrating a birthday party with young children, telling them they need to move because one of the regulars doesn't want to sit next to black people because of the color of their skin.
Right. One story in the Chicago Tribune.
That rag?
Says that this particular Buffalo Wild Wings at that particular Naperville, Illinois incident is not their, the story says, first race-related controversy. I mean, the story quotes state representatives, college professors. It talks about Kevin Mumford, a University of Illinois professor who has studied race relations, says racism could be on an upswing in suburbs such as Naperville because of events in Chicago and nationally.
See, I don't believe that. Look, I think we've come a long way in this country. Is this country nearly as racist as it was at one point? No. Are there always going to be some people that are racist? Yeah, probably. But I can't imagine someone working at a restaurant, even if it's a college age student, even if it's a 21 or 22 year old waiter or waitress, saying that to the adults at the birthday party instead of saying to the regular who just asked that, look, I know you're a regular, I know you come here a lot, but they're customers just like you. If you don't want to sit here, why don't you move down to the other side of the bar or wherever? But that's how could you ask me to do something like that for that reason?
Right, irrespective of the fact that for whatever reason the regular, quote unquote regular, wants to move. The story, as given, sounds like he appeared at the restaurant after the group of folks celebrating the birthday party. So I would think the onus would be upon him to be reseated. And if he complains, give him half a dozen wings. It's just this. Continuing from the story in the Chicago Tribune, after news spread about the Buffalo Wild Wings incident, some on social media said they weren't surprised it happened in the current national political climate, said they weren't surprised it happened in Naperville, quoting singer Richard Marx. I know about Naperville. He grew up in the area and says it's, and disgusting as this is, it's not terribly surprising. End of quote.
Yeah, and I don't like hearing, well, looking at the national state of politics. Look, this happened at a place, and I'm looking up the makeup of Naperville, Ohio. They say
Illinois,
Naperville, Illinois. There's about 150,000 people who live there. 70% white, 18% Asian, black and Hispanics make up 5% of the population in Naperville, Illinois.
But I'm sure, I mean,
the franchise also said, Brewster, they announced that not only did they fire the two employees and that everybody there is going to have to undergo sensitivity training, it said the customer, the regular, whose complaint started this whole controversy,
he's been banned
for life at all of Buffalo Wild Wings more than 1,200 restaurants. Now, how are they going to do that? What if the guy puts on a fake mustache or something?
We'll find out if he tries.
Boy, oh boy! You know there are going to be incidents. There are going to be incidents that happen, but we've come a long way in this country when it comes to racism, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as it was at one time. But when an incident like this happens, there are some people that just gravitate and they say, "You see, look, our whole country, look what's going on." There are always, no matter what group of people you're going to get, there are always going to be idiots in every group.
Right. And it's I mean, impugn Naperville, Illinois, but it has nothing to do with Buffalo Wild Wings.
All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. 70-year-old actor Richard Gere has just announced he's going to be a daddy again. He's going to be a father at 70. His wife is just about half of his age.
Attaboy.
His wife is 36 years old.
That's what I'm talking about.
Isn't that something? Be a 70-year-old guy. They're expecting baby number two nearly 9 months after announcing the birth of their first child together. 70-year-old actor Richard Gere, along with his 36-year-old wife,
Alejandra Silva are now expecting child number two. Hey, more power to them, right? Why be envious? Why be jealous? I mean, I've lived most of my life without being envious and jealous of Richard Gere. why should I start being jealous and envious now? I'm just blown away by the fact that he's 70 and she's 36. And not only are they having children, but they have things to talk about that you would think that, you know, having a 35, 36-year-old age difference, that they probably wouldn't have a lot in common. What do you talk about? But I guess she's gorgeous, by the way. She is stunningly beautiful.
Well, if they have a son, you can figure about the time he's going through puberty, Richard Gere will be in his mid-80s.
Do you have a favorite Richard Gere movie? Mine, without a doubt. I don't think I've ever seen a Richard.
Slow down. I've never seen Pretty Woman.
No.
I've never seen...
His best is, without a doubt, An Officer and a Gentleman.
I've never seen that.
That's one of the, in my opinion, one of the greatest films ever made.
You know, I'm going to have to compile the list. We used to do this years ago, films that Brewster's never seen.
Yeah.
There are still some, I finally got around to seeing Goodfellas. It's all right.
Just all right.
Oh, I should do that list and put it on the website. I'll get right on that.
Oh, but to me, An Officer and a Gentleman is must watch.
Never seen that.
That's him and Louis Gossett Jr. That's how he became famous in that movie. Mm-hmm. And Deborah Winger was in that movie. And evidently, they didn't get along, Richard Gere and Deborah Winger.
Does anyone get along with Deborah Winger?
Well, she said she hated the scenes, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But that is an American classic, An Officer and a Gentleman. Congratulations to him. Coming up next, we will tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this was tough. I know on Friday we do the dumbest thing I read all week, and there's no shortage. I just got to figure out what's dumber.
Right.
And I feel dumber trying to figure that out.
You look dumber, in fact.
Yeah. Stay tuned for what the dumbest thing I read all morning is. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, and since it's around 8:35, this is the time of the show where we tell you the dumbest thing read all morning. Naked man in chicken coop arrested after doing way too much meth.
I'm sorry, did you say chicken poop?
Chicken coop.
Chicken coop.
And wouldn't you know, this happened in Louisiana.
Mm.
Really?
Mm.
A naked guy in a chicken coop gets arrested after doing way too much meth. And really, it has to be in Louisiana. Police arrested Jeffrey Falls.
Hey.
That's F-A-L-L-S. They arrested him last Saturday morning after receiving a call from a homeowner in the Brownsville-Baucomville area of Louisiana, saying there was a nude man, a naked man, in his chicken coop. And he was tearing up while he was talking to the police. I'd probably get emotional, too, if I looked out in my backyard and there was a naked guy in my chicken coop.
Or chicken poop.
When the police officers arrived, they found Jeffrey Falls naked in the chicken coop, attempting to clean the coop's floor with his hands. Well, at least he was trying to do something productive. At least he wasn't doing something horrifying. Police say the homeowner did not know the man and did not want him in the chicken coop. I guess when the cops showed up there, they have to go through questions. And they find the naked guy in the chicken coop.
Well, there's a checklist for that.
Yeah, and they, do you know this man? No. Do you want him in the chicken coop? Well, if I don't know them, you think I want some naked stranger hanging out in my chicken coop with my chickens? And this is the police report I'm reading. When the man arrived on the scene, that's Jeffrey Falls, he turned over a few plants on the porch before heading to the chicken coop. When police officers examined Jeffrey Falls, they noted that he had dilated pupils. He had erratic, jerky body movements. When they interviewed him, he admitted that he had done, quote, way too much meth, unquote. And then he attempted to have a conversation with the door of his car. He tried talking to the door of his car.
Is he having erratic movements, kind of like Mick Jagger, like sort of like that? Moves like Jagger? Because, you know, Jagger can kind of do that rooster.
Yeah,
kind of rooster thing.
He was tweaking.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Hmm.
But why did this have to happen in Louisiana?
Oh, I know.
I mean, this made national news. You know, people that are out west or up in New England or in the Midwest or Alaska, they're saying, really, Louisiana?
Well, I see these unfortunate stories a lot, like in the Daily Mail in the UK. And they thought, oh, no. What must they think of us?
Well, chicken coops and methamphetamine make strange bedfellows. In September of last year, 2018, police in Arkansas arrested a guy named Dustin Manews. He was on meth, and he was in a chicken coop. But at least that happened in Arkansas. In 2016, Georgia police raided a home in Gordon County, Georgia, and there was a guy in a chicken coop there. He had his clothes on, but he was on meth as well. His name was Michael Leon Patton. And so this
what do you have there, the Guinness Book of Records? What are you?
No, I'm just trying to show you that methamphetamine and chicken coops are bedfellows. Hmm. They could be strange bedfellows, but yes. they are. And so the naked man being found in the chicken coop in Louisiana is the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Mic drop.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. So yesterday we were talking a little bit about how the CEO of McDonald's got fired because he did sex. He had a consensual relationship with a coworker, with someone who worked at McDonald's. And even though it was consensual, evidently it's in the handbook. If you get a job at McDonald's, whether you're the CEO or whether you're working the fryolator, you can't be doing sex with people you work with.
I'm sorry. It's called the McHandbook.
The McHandbook.
McHandbook. I'm a stickler for detail.
His name is Steve Easterbrook, and we told you he got severance of just under $700,000. And I'm not sure if the McDonald's employee he was doing sex with makes $8 an hour or not. I'm not sure. But the $700,000 severance, that's just the beginning. He could pocket about $70 million when this is all said and done. And it looks like Steve Easterbrook, the former McDonald's CEO, is going to pocket around $70 million. That's worth of stocks and options. Isn't that something? So, I mean, he's 52 years old. You know that he climbed the corporate ladder. He had been working there since the early 90s. And again, I don't know if he started doing the fries or I don't know what he was doing. But he had been working there since the early 90s. And then he gets fired when he's 52 years old in the year 2018 because he did sex with an employee at McDonald's. And it looks like he's going to get a little over $70 million when this is all said and done. Not bad if everybody who lost their jobs could get that kind of an exit. It'd be a great world, wouldn't it? Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride and a historic day in Kenner. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Do you know why we pay more, a higher rate for our auto insurance in Louisiana than pretty much every other state in the United States of America? There's a couple of reasons. There's a few reasons. One of the reasons right at the top of the list is because the scams that happen here. And what I mean by that is there are, and evidently it happens, I guess this happens all over the country, but I think it happens more in Louisiana than other states, where people working together, a couple of people in a couple of different cars, they hang around highways, they see trucks, 18-wheelers,
sure,
and they will go and purposely get in an accident with it.
Right, just not something that would jeopardize them or the truck, but enough to cause damage.
And enough where they can get whichever big company is paying for that truck to be on the road to write them a check.
Right.
You know, I've always
rather
said,
rather than litigate it and go through all of that.
And that's one of the main reasons why we pay more in auto insurance here in the state of Louisiana than the people in the other 49 states in this country. Like, why does that happen here more than, let's say, in New York or California or anywhere else?
Well, it's that, but because of a variety of economic and social factors, I would imagine that Louisiana is way high on the list of a number of uninsured drivers. I'm not sure. I mean, it's a perennial thing. It changes from year to year. But I can remember when I was doing traffic on the radio that a report came out that off and on in the top 10, do you know what two intersections in this area were always in the list of like the top 10, 15 or 20 worst intersections? Number one was Veterans and Causeway, as far as accidents. Number two was Veterans and Clearview, always perennially in the top 12, 15 or so for accidents.
I was just reading how that scam with people, usually a couple of cars, sometimes it's one car, will purposely get in an accident with an 18-wheeler and then make phone calls, go after that company. That scam makes our car insurance here in the state of Louisiana go up about $600 more per year than people pay in any other state. That scam costs us about an extra $600 a year.
Great.
And you think if those people could use their brains to do something good, I mean, they could think of that.
It's people ask me that all the time. Why can't you use your powers for good?
And that's just about going to do it for our show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.